This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
On the grill this morning, I am talking to Leonard Yong, the Group Chief Executive of the Hong Kong headquartered business services provider Tricor Group. Leonard, welcome to BFM and welcome back to Malaysia. I presume you are Malaysian and you have found yourself in the fold at the helm of this company, which of course has ended up in the private equity firm Permira's ownership after it bought the stake from Bank of East Asia a couple of years ago. You find yourself now part of the small management team that own a small stake, a minority strategic stake in the business. Now, in terms of your business, I think you came out of the in the wake of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which saw corporate services being carved out of the big six accounting firms, and now you run it as a standalone business where things like share registrars and management of various services for corporate clients are your main business. I'm sure you can do a better job of explaining your business to customers. So tell me, in essence, what is Tricor Group's proposition?
Sure. Well, firstly, Chuang, thank you for this opportunity to speak with your viewers. My team in Malaysia, they love your radio channel. And I think it brings a fresh perspective for a lot of people interested in business. Put simply, I think when businesses want to go international, there's obviously a need to get the right support, advice, and infrastructure set up globally. And basically, Tricor is the conduit in which Malaysian businesses, US businesses, Chinese businesses, when you move around the world, we basically provide corporate services to incorporate, to set up the infrastructure, in particular, the first 12 months of a corporation. So that's why we call ourselves the Asian business expansion specialist. So at heart of what we do is in moving corporations around the world and then helping them to find their infra at the outset.
Okay, so I understand you've got a whole suite of services from share registrar management to financial accounting, even, for example, HR and related services as well. Is there a core specialty to the Tricor proposition?
Well, effectively, the core specialty is we take the non-core part of the work of our clients, so from cradle to grave. So effectively, from incorporation to liquidation, the share registrar is essentially equity services. We also do debt services. So when companies want to raise capital in the equity markets, then we provide the registrar and pre-IPO services, or if they want to access debt as well. So we don't operate as a bank. Banks provide the funding, but then there's a whole lot of paperwork, administration, trustee, and that's where we come in. So effectively, Tricor spans from cradle to grave for a corporation. Yeah.
Now, when Permira bought Tricor from Bank of East Asia 2 years ago, it was a $6.5 billion Hong Kong dollar deal. I think the idea they bought into was basically to ride on the expansion of Asian corporations, and you set up, or they set up at the time, in the four main capitals of, I think, Hong Kong, KL, Singapore, and Tokyo. I think Hong Kong is where you do a lot of your business. But you're really a China story. You're really an outgoing China business story. You help outgoing investment from that part of the world into the region. Is that a presumption that is accurate?
Yes, indeed. So I think I wouldn't just say that we're predominantly North Asia or China, but we're also very much an ASEAN company. So our presence is in 21 countries and regions across the world. But in particular, our expertise is in Asia. So over 98% of my staff, 95% of our revenues all originate from Asia, right from Tokyo in Japan down to Sydney, Australia, and then across all of the spectrum of countries. Of course, there's a few jurisdictions where we're not in yet, and we'd like to, you know, plant some more flags. But in essence, we're a Asian business. And the reason why we also have a Chinese story is because we closed one of the biggest acquisitions of Tricor in May of this year, in a company known as Richful De Jong. That company basically enabled us to access about 2,000 corporations looking to expand globally into Hong Kong primarily, and then from there to go into Singapore, Malaysia, etc. So Richful gave us a pathway to be able to access Chinese corporations looking for global expansion. And that was the strategy for that acquisition there.
Yeah, that's interesting. And of course, you are almost like a proxy in terms of a barometer of a business activity in the region. Everybody makes a big deal out of the Asian century being the time, the period, the century where the sleeping giant wakes up. And you do have a viewpoint on trends and themes. And one of the themes that I understand that has been emerging is that Japanese corporations are coming out of Japan and investing into the region. Is that something that you're seeing as well?
Yes, we are. But I think, you know, one has to go back to the fact. And if you look at the foreign direct investments out versus in, the outflows.
Out from Japan into the region.
Across all the countries, China still represents the second largest flow of FDI out after United States. And Japan features as well. But if you add China and Hong Kong, they represent a substantial portion of Asia. And that is just under 50% of all of Asia foreign direct investments outflow. 49% come from two places, Hong Kong and mainland China. So these are powerful conduits of growth for the ASEAN economy.
Well, sitting as you do, Leonard, in Hong Kong, you would have first-hand views on the health of the economy. You would have a first-hand view of how Carrie Lam is handling the riots in Hong Kong, as well as the health or otherwise of the Chinese economy. What are your viewpoints there in terms of the business activity?
Look, I think for Hong Kong, there's no doubt that there are lots of challenges that we're working through. As a business, I think we're mainly focused on the commercial health of our business and the economy. When we make decisions, we look at business not in terms of months or days. We look at business in terms of decades. And for us, I think Tricor is very much rooted in Hong Kong. That is our headquarters. And I think that the best days for Hong Kong is yet to come.
I understand. But sitting as we do now in this part of the cycle in the economy, have you noticed a slowdown in terms of deals that are coming your way as opposed to, say, this time last year?
Yes, indeed. But I do want to be very specific. I think the issue on the slowdown in general was already triggered by the trade tensions between the US and China.
Exactly.
So that, if you ask me from a business perspective, I think that is more of the resetting that we're seeing. However, for Tricor, as I mentioned, we're into business expansion. So we do see corporations going from US, Europe, and then moving down towards ASEAN. We see Chinese corporations going down to ASEAN as well. So I think there's a rebalancing. But I would probably point to more changes in terms of growth forecasts to over a year ago when the trade issues came up.
I understand, and I agree completely with you. It's a rebalancing of global trade flows. But what I was looking from you in terms of insights as to what kind of industries are moving, what kinds of volumes of flows you are seeing in terms of activity, because we see from the news flow that there has been a diversification of trade investments from the North American portion to the ASEAN portion. Which countries, which sectors, which industries, what volumes, how many people, which companies?
Right. So let me say it in two perspectives. I think there's a short term and a long term. Short term, you're obviously seeing a lot of interest from Chinese companies going into Malaysia, going to Vietnam, and sometimes into Indonesia.
Between Malaysia and Vietnam, when they talk to you, and of course you are a business expansion specialist, right? What is your feedback to them, and what are their pain points when they toss a coin between Malaysia and Vietnam?
Right. I think at the moment now, because Vietnam offers opportunities for predominantly for manufacturing factories and so on. That's been an easy path for a lot of market entrants there. But I would caveat to say that Vietnam is still very much emerging, and a lot of the global supply chain, the transportation system, logistics aren't as developed as, say, the southern China part yet. So in that sense, I think while there's a lot of interest in Vietnam, you're talking about initial setup, not the entire movement or factories and so on. With regards to Malaysia, I think we see a lot of interest. A lot of our Chinese customers are looking into investments into Malaysia because they see a very open government. And the infra that is being brought into Malaysia, I think it's going to be a winner for Malaysia. From the financial services perspective, I've noticed as well the nearshore Labuan is also becoming very popular for Chinese companies. Early this year, the Chinese insurance and banking regulator opened up the door for Labuan to be one of the places to do offshore business. So for us, we've seen a pickup of interest in Labuan in the last 6 months. Yeah.
And of course, Labuan is a partner with whom you have struck a partnership with. What does that entail in terms of business flow, and what does it entail in terms of you know, the impact to the country and to the Malaysian economy?
Well, I think, you know, it would be nice if more and more corporations come in, set up, hire the local people, and access talent and labor and space here. But the first port of call is often setting up a corporation. So Labuan provides that conduit for people to come in, and it's become more and more attractive. We've done more incorporations in Labuan in the last 6 months than we did in the last 3 years.
I'm talking this morning to Leonard Yong. He's the group CEO of the Hong Kong headquartered business services provider Tricor Group, owned and controlled by the Permira private equity group out of the UK. After this, we're going to be talking about your business specifically, the challenges and the expectations from Permira. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning, I'm talking to Leonard Yong, the Group Chief Executive of the Hong Kong headquartered business services provider Tricor Group. Now, you have outlined a very clear and aggressive acquisition strategy to grow in the region. That is, of course, what Permira expects, being a private equity group, and their expectations for you to tap on Asia's business expansion for the next 80 years in the what is known as the Asian century. Now, as you say, you bought Richard De Jong, you've bought Alpha Link, which is another big business in the Greater China region. There's challenges, of course, always to growth by acquisition, cultural assimilation, staff assimilation, cultural assimilation, and what have you. How are you handling that?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. In today's world, when you do acquisitions, you have a lot of MBA text, and you have a lot of knowledge and information there on how to integrate traditional manufacturing production types of businesses. But when it comes to service type of businesses, you have very fragmented views. I've done many rounds of building businesses for private equity. This would be my third opportunity, and one that I found very fruitful in our partnership with Permira. Permira Partners originates from the UK, and they bring to the table discipline, financial discipline, and also access to technology as well. And what my team and I bring in is basically the alignment of minds and goals and creation of the strategy, execution of it. And with that partnership, we've been able to bring Tricor substantially, I think, from its history before Permira, around a 5-6 year CAGR growth, around 6%, and today we're surpassing the 13% is where we're targeting for organic growth. If you add the acquisitions, we will surpass over 20%. So the fact that we come from a single digit growth to a double digit, really it's a partnership with our shareholders, but also in capturing the talent from our people, in pulling together a lot of things that we need. So I can tell you a little bit more about the things that we've done. I'm excited as well because we just opened our shared service center here in Kuala Lumpur. We did the launch yesterday. But what's different, Chuang, with any shared service center I've seen is that we've combined and coupled it with artificial intelligence and robotics. So we have now over 40 bots are running hand-in-hand with our shared service center.
Okay. The artificial intelligence discussion is one that we're going to have in a few minutes. But it's almost intuitive. It's almost as of right that double-digit CAGR growth will happen as a result of inorganic growth, because you are essentially buying revenue and you're buying a scale. You're buying relationships and you're buying customers. That's what happens when you buy companies. Our question really was revolving around swallowing up all your acquisitions. You bought 7 large ones so far, and they just seem to get bigger and bigger as time goes by. Permira offers the balance sheet, and you and your team offer the management and expertise to go along with it. How has it been in terms of swallowing up your asset acquisitions?
Well, I think the most recent one, Richfield de Jong, brought us over 300 employees in China, 13 offices across the main cities in China. That has been a phenomenal partnership because it wasn't a partnership that was built primarily on financial growth, but it was one around strategic growth. That means there was something about Richfield that they needed, which is global expansion outside of China. And Tricor, on the other hand, needed something in China. So the integration hasn't been as challenging in a sense that we've got pieces that we need. So it wasn't about trying to delayer, trying to delayer duplication of roles or anything. It was coupling between a capability that we didn't have and a capability that they didn't have.
So some of the numbers that I've got, and you can update me if these numbers are not fresh, but Richfield de Jong brought about 18,000 Chinese corporations to your client role. And I think as it stands now, you've got 50,000 clients. So they bumped it up and now they stand about a third of your entire client role, which is a lot. But in the process of being integrated, has there been any teething problems in terms of systems integration, in terms of all the business services that Tricor has got existingly with that of Richfield? Has it been in any way disruptive to how business is done?
So I want to be a little bit more deliberate in this answer because there are two fundamental types of M&A. One is when you buy services that you are trying to achieve scale, and therefore you have to eliminate duplication in order to get the synergies. In this case, Richfield de Jong was not one of that. The purpose of this acquisition was to access something that we didn't have. So in that sense, integration was more coupling like a train. You have a train that couples with each other and you're pulling along. So the integration is around the coupling. As opposed to integration when you're buying scale, that's a different type, where you have two CEOs, two CFOs. In this case here, we didn't have a chairman CEO who understood the local Chinese market. So we, in fact, have empowered and enabled him to do more business. I was down in Guangzhou literally last Monday, and we did some really crazy things. We accessed about 3,000 people in Guangzhou, propositioned over 100 chairman CEOs to do business in around Asia. Now, that was something that before under Tricor, we didn't do as much. So these are the kinds of opportunity that we're accessing. So to answer your question, the integration hasn't been that painful because it was a different type of integration. It was an integration for mutual competitive advantage rather than for compression of duplicate services.
Yeah. I'm talking this morning to Lennon Yong, the group CEO of the Hong Kong headquartered business services provider Tricor Group. Now, are there attendant challenges of running a services firm like yourselves, Lennon? For example, your teams in all your countries within your footprint have got to stay absolutely 100% on top of legal and regulatory changes as they happen. And even looking at Malaysia, where there's been a new government in place for the last at least couple of years, there's been a lot of regulatory changes and a lot of opacity that comes along with those regulatory changes. How do you deal with it? Headquartered as you are in Hong Kong, how do you stay on top and provide the right advice? And if in the odd occasion you do provide the wrong advice and financial loss is incurred, what kind of liabilities are you looking at?
Well, let me answer the last question first. The space that we play in is basically in providing services that are needed by our clients. And when I say services in this context, they're basically repeatable. They are very structured type of services, as opposed to often what you get, say, in the Big Four accounting world, where there are bespoke advisory services. In that sense, those kinds of services open up to different types of risk profile. For Tricor, because we're doing very much fundamental needs for corporations, so such as filing your tax returns, filing your annual returns for corporations. So these things, I would argue, have less risk and liability associated with them than bespoke advisory services. So we play in a segment of work, let me say, in that sweet spot in the mid-corporate segment. So in that sense, our risk profile and ability to do business is somewhat different.
It's almost as if you've got this moat around you in a Warren Buffett sense. Who are your competitors in the region?
Well, I think, you know, when we look around the space there, it ranges from international competitors such as TMF, Vistra, and then more, you know, Asian type of competitors, Boardroom, to name a few. You know, one of the things that I'm reminded when you read the book Good to Great, you know, on the one hand, sometimes it's tempting to think that you're competing with your competitors. But essentially, I think it's about competing with yourself. It's about getting your personal best. So I try to focus my team on doing what we can control to be a better company every day. So we watch our competitors, of course. But to be frank, there's nothing I can do to affect my competitors. That's their decision and their strategy. So we tend to focus on what we can control.
Well, it seems almost intuitive that the number one thing to maintain the momentum within your business is to protect the relationships that you already have with your clients, because it's almost unheard of for clients to move share registrars, for example, right? Because you just want some kind of uniformity and consistency to the service.
Yep.
Would that be a correct assumption?
Yes, absolutely. And really, the glue to holding on your customers is your staff, because we're in the services
world. So that's the problem, because if you got, for example, a Boardroom that might come in and say, look, I'll just offer your guys 30% more, just like as you did with Deloitte when you hired your acquisition manager, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. It can be a balance sheet strength game.
Yeah. So therefore, in terms of my personal management style, I have an inverted pyramid. My directors who are facing to the customers have, you know, they get the highest share of my time. They're the most important people to me. I have to say, second to my board, because the directors are the ones that are at the coalface of the customer relationship. If they're not engaged, then I lose the ability to gain the traction I need with my clients. We've done a recent Net Promoter Score by Nielsen, and we're pleased that in four of the core markets that we have, we're doing better relatively in the market than our competition. Our customers are choosing us. So if there is a strategy and secret that I need to continue to push, is to ensure that my directors are the happiest people and enjoy working for Tricor, because that I know is the difference between a strategy that is you know, only on a PowerPoint or a strategy that actually works. Yeah.
There's a strong line of causation between happiness and monetization and wealth, for example.
Yep.
With Permira, the private equity guys on board as directors, is there an expectation that there'll be a payout or some kind of like exit strategy down the line?
You know, to be quite frank, there is obviously an entry and an exit point. But in Tricor, if you look at our board meetings, we rarely talk about exit. But what we often talk about most of the time is basically how to build a great business. Because if you focus on the right things in life, things such as the exit and so on will take care of itself. But often, as you know, if you over-focus on the wrong things in life and you shortchange your customers, then exit is going to be a problem. So I want to say that you know, when I look at the board agenda that I craft with our chairman, it's been about building a better business. And that's really how things should work. Yeah.
All right, Leonard, thank you for your thoughts. And it was a pleasure talking to you. It was a bit good insight into the business activity and volumes of the ASEAN and Asian continent. I was talking to Leonard Yong, the Group Chief Executive of the Hong Kong headquartered business services provider, Tricor Group, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.